Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Well, happy Valentine's Day to everyone. I'm real excited to be here this morning. Of course, this is week two of the Love and War series, and I felt like last week would be better for war because there was a football game, and this week would be better for love because, of course, it's Valentine's Day. How many of you remember, you're going to show your age, how many of you remember when Forrest Gump came out in theaters? Can you believe that was 1994? 1994. Look, there's a specific day there. I'm going to say August the 11th of 1994, I saw Forrest Gump for the very first time. August 11th, 1994. And I know that because on this Valentine's Day, that was the first date for my wife and I. First date, Forrest Gump. I'm not much of a moviegoer, but that was a pretty good movie. And it turned out to be quite the classic, kind of like our marriage. Classic. So, yeah, I love that girl. I love that girl. I still love that girl. So today, I want to talk a little bit about love, but I also want to talk about last week's message just a little bit. We talked about the armor of God, and I was incredibly passionate about certain elements of the armor of God, and I actually came almost off the stage, and I was kind of sort of swinging my sword, and I was telling you about it, and some of you may remember that. If you don't, you should go watch the video, because the crowd reaction to that moment was kind of intense. But I want to talk a little bit more detail about those particular pieces of armor before we get into the love story for today. We talked about the truth. We talked about the fact that Jesus is the truth, the belt of truth from that armor. And that if we don't trust him and believe in what he's saying, we will fall for a lie. We talked about that. We also talked about the breastplate of righteousness. And thank goodness when I asked any you guys if anybody had ever bowled a 300 game, nobody raised their hand because you would have totally blown up my whole illustration if you had. But even though we can't reach perfection, we still strive for it. It's the same reason we still go bowling, even though we know, even with the bumpers in the gutters, we're still not going to hit 300. Right? I can't hit 300 even with bumpers. If I was 10 feet away, I couldn't do it. It's bowling. I'm horrible, but I still love it. I'm still striving for perfection. We talked about the shield of faith. If you remember, we talked about the fiery arrows that the enemy will shoot at you. And I listed a few of those, lust and greed and doubt and worry. And the fact that we can hold that shield of faith up and it can extinguish those things. And we can trust in what Jesus has said and that what he did. The helmet of salvation, which protects our head. And we talked about 90% of the things that we battle, spiritual battles, are happening right here in our head. And God gave us He gives us the Holy Spirit, but he gives us the helmet of salvation to protect our head. And then we talked about the sword of the Spirit, which I was throwing around quite nicely last week. And then the boots, or the readiness of the gospel of peace. And that's where it kind of got very real in here for a minute, and I was standing this edge. I don't know what it is about this edge, but I was standing off this edge, and I asked you guys a question, and I said, how much must you hate the people around you if you would not share the gospel with them? How much must you hate them if you would not share the good news with them? And then while I was preparing for my message this week, I thought about how harsh that was. Truth, yes. Harsh, absolutely. And I was a little bit convicted about the way I handled that moment. Because I thought to myself, how many of you have the tools in your toolbox to even do that? And it made me think about this morning. I don't even know why, but I was thinking about a tree trunk. You guys have seen these where people will top them off. And then they have this 8-foot tree trunk in their front yard, right? An artist comes up and he sees that tree trunk and he sees something incredibly beautiful. He sees a masterpiece there and he has his toolbox full of stuff. And he pulls out the chainsaw and he starts carving stuff and he has his chisel and he's chiseling things. And before you know it, there's a beautiful masterpiece, like some kind of an eagle soaring on top of a rabbit's head coming out of a top hat. I don't know how they do that. But they see this beautiful masterpiece right there in front of them. I don't see it. I see a tree trunk. As a matter of fact, I just chopped down three trees this past winter, It's still winter, but just this past few months out of my front yard. And I said, take it all the way down. I don't even want the stumps. Grind that stuff. I don't need it. I don't see any masterpiece there. It's just something to get my mower caught up on. But nevertheless, they see a masterpiece. And maybe you guys see a masterpiece in some of the friends that you have. Some of those people that you want to share the gospel with, maybe you see a masterpiece underneath that hard exterior. But you just don't have the tools yet to dig through, to chop away, and allow God to do something really amazing through you in their life. So today, I'm going to give you a couple of tools real quick before we get into the meat of the message, which is all about love, okay? So here's what I want you to do. Take out your phones, or if you still use pen and paper for notes, please take those out as well. Start a new note on your iPhone or your Android app, and here's what I want you to put down as the very first step on this new note that you're writing. If you've been in church for a while, you've heard of Romans Road. If you haven't been in church for a while, you may have never heard of it. If you've been in church for a really long time, you probably know, hear it called Romans Free Way. It's an old school church term. But Romans Road, write this down. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. This starts your opportunity to lead somebody down a road of salvation. And it's very simple. And here, there's going to be four scriptures I'm going to share with you. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God has a target for us. We've all fallen short of it. Every one of us. Romans 3, 23. If you don't know and love God, you should gain great comfort from the fact that every one of us in this room are in the same boat as you when it comes to falling short of what God wants for our lives. Romans 6, 23 then says this, for the wages of sin is death. What you earn when you sin is death. Maybe not necessarily a physical, it could be a physical death, but not necessarily a physical death, a spiritual and an emotional death. You will serve, that's what you earn. But here's the great news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then Romans 5, 8 says, but God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, last week I said, while you still hated him, he sent his son, Christ, to die for you. And then Romans 10, 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Great, great, great news. Great news. That's how you can take someone from not knowing who Jesus is to knowing who he is. It's that simple. God didn't make it difficult, but now you have one more tool in your toolbox. That might not be the tool you need to help one of your friends. How about Forrest Gump? You can use Forrest Gump. That's some seriously unconditional love. That girl was a train wreck, and Forrest still loved her. I'm a train wreck. You're a train wreck, and God still loves us. Maybe you use Forrest Gump. Maybe that's your tool in your toolbox that you're going to use. Maybe you will use your story. This may be the most powerful tool that you have in your entire toolbox. Your story. Where you were before you met Jesus. What was your life? I was a mess. I don't even want to talk about my life before I met him. Where were you before? What did the circumstances surrounding you making that decision to follow him look like? And where are you now? It's another great way to share your faith. To share and be ready with the gospel. It's all about love. It's all about love. I'm going to give you one more tool here. This week, as I've been working on figuring out what love is, I read a story, and it was a guy. He was 80-some years old, and he had just lost his wife within the last year. And they were interviewing him, and they were talking about what is love? Like, how does your relationship last 60-plus years? What is it about love? And he's like, you know, I don't think you can define it. You try, and you've got all these poets and people trying to define love. You have Shakespeare doing all of his great works, but it's a romantic love with Romeo and Juliet and blah, 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 and all of this stuff. And all of these poets and songwriters and lyricists, and they're all trying to write and define love. So I'm like, well, what do some of the songs say? And I came across, I'm going to show a little bit of my age, I found Pat Benatar says that love is a battlefield. Whoa. Tina Turner says, what's love got to do with it? It's a secondhand emotion. So love's an emotion? The Righteous Brothers, you've lost that loving, so now it's in a feeling? The Beatles say all you need is love, and Whitney Houston says learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. And I'm going to test you guys now. This one's new. I've never heard this song, I promise. But Justin Bieber is saying, just go love yourself. I think that's about Selena Gomez, but my kids told me that. I promise I have never listened to that song. So all of these people, all of these different ideas of what love is, I'm not sure that any of them are really nailing it. But I'm going to tell you what I think is one of, without a doubt, the greatest love stories of all time. And we're going to go way back, Old Testament style today. So open up your scripture, pull out the sword, open it up, and go to Hosea chapter 1. Hosea chapter 1. I'm going to give you a little backstory on him while you're finding this. Hosea was a prophet, which means God would speak to and through Hosea. So God would speak to him and basically say, this is what I need you to tell my people. Hosea would go, I hear you loud and clear. And he would go then share that word with his people. That's what he would do. So in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, Hosea tuned in, dialed in, hearing God loud and clear. God says, hey, Hosea, go and take yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness. What? God, are you serious? Go and take yourself an adulterous wife. What? And children of unfaithfulness. I don't get it. So I'm sure at that moment, and this is just me, but I'm sure at that moment, Hosea said, what? And went back to God and prayed some more and heard the same thing back. So Hosea goes out and he finds himself a woman. She's a prostitute. Her name is Gomer. And he connects with Gomer. And I can only imagine, once again, this is just me like thinking out loud. I can only imagine what that conversation might have looked like. You know, like, first of all, I don't know where he's at. I don't know, some kind of dude ranch. I don't know where he shows up to get to find his prostitute wife. But he shows up and he's like, you're going to come with me and you're going to be my wife and we're going to have babies together. And, you know, I look at it and I go, the only thing I can picture this is like the movie Pretty Woman, you know? Like maybe they got the whole idea for that movie from this passage. So he goes out, he finds himself a prostitute, he marries her, he takes her home. And then the scriptures say that she gave him a son, and then she gave him a daughter, and then as soon as she was done weaning her daughter, she gave him another son. But in verse 8, this is what it says about that third son. After she had weaned her daughter, Gomer had another son. And the Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people and I am not your God. You're not mine. God says, I want you to name your third son, you're not mine. You remember what God said in the very beginning? Children of unfaithfulness. So Hosea is sitting there, two kids already. A third one comes along. Very obvious it isn't his. And God has made that very clear. It's not your son. And we don't really know exactly what happens to Gomer at this point because she just kind of leaves. She abandons her three kids and her husband. Just abandons them. And runs back off into her life of prostitution. Back into the sex slave industry, whatever it was exactly for her, I'm not 100% sure. Prostitution. And then we fast forward to chapter 3. She's gone, left the kids, left her husband, and God speaks to Hosea again, and he says in verse 1, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Once again, I'm pretty sure he probably said, what? And he stops and he prays again, and sure enough, bam. Go love your wife again. I know she's a prostitute, but I want you to go love her anyway. So he runs off, and he heads off to go find her. Keep this in mind. This is a man of God. Where would he have to go find his wife? I'm guessing he probably was walking down some alleyways that a man of God should not be in. He's probably walking down streets that he doesn't belong on. But he goes anyway. He goes anyway, and he finds her. Now, this is the image that comes to my head. This isn't what the scripture says necessarily because it doesn't give us a lot of detail of what it was like when he found her. But this is the picture that I have. I imagine he walks down this road, this dirt road, and he's in amongst all these people, and there's an auction going on. And he looks up at the end of the street, and he sees this stage. And he sees Gomer up on that stage. And she's probably tied up, naked, waiting for the highest bidder. And I imagine it was something like, "That's my wife. That's my wife. She does not belong up on there. You need to take those chains off of her and let her go. She doesn't belong there. That's my wife." And the guy running the auction, the pimp, says, "What's your price? What will you give for her?" "That's my wife. She's already mine. I don't have to buy her back. That's my wife." "What's your price?" Verse 2 says, "So I bought her back for 50 shekels of silver and about a homer and a half of barley." Can you imagine that? She's standing up there on this stage, chained, naked, and she looks out and sees the highest bidder is her husband, whom she's left, abandoned, him and her 3 kids. And she looks out there and she sees him. I can only imagine this is probably something like just sheer disappointment, disgrace, puts her head down. And he walks up to her and he says, "You're going to live with me. You're going to live with me. You're not going to be a prostitute anymore. You're not going to be unfaithful anymore. You're going to come home and you're going to live with me for many days." And then he takes her down. I don't know if he had to break chains. I don't know what he had to do, but he takes her down off that stage. I'm sure he puts his arm around her, puts his jacket on her, and takes her home. Back to her 3 kids. This story, all throughout, and I wasn't necessarily reading all of these little pieces to you, but all throughout this story, Hosea is putting this back on Israel. And when he talks about Israel, he's talking about Israel at that time. But today, he's talking about you and he's talking about me. Look, Hosea is a beautiful picture of God the Father. Beautiful picture of God the Father. And no offense, but we're Gomer. We're Gomer. We've walked out. And I can just imagine this for a minute. God is walking down this street. And he looks up down there on the end and he sees you. He sees me tied up, ashamed, chained up, bound at the end of the street. And he walks up and he goes, No, that's my son. That's my daughter. They do not belong on that stage. They do not belong in those chains. Sure enough, the pimp says, "What do you got? What do you have? What are you going to offer for them?" And he goes, "You know what?" The pimp says, "It's going to cost you your son." And God says, "Okay. Okay. I can do this. I'll send my son. I'll send my son." And he sends Jesus down here. For about 30 years, Jesus grows in wisdom and in stature, is what the scripture says. And for 3 years, he walks this earth telling people about the good news, about a kingdom yet to come. And he sends him down here to die. And when he hangs on that cross, you on that stage, your chains are broken and you are free. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Children of God, Have you accepted that yet? Are you walking in that freedom yet? Or are you still stuck on that stage, tied up and bound by your lust, your greed, your worry, your doubt? What is it that's holding you up? What is it that keeps you from allowing those chains to be broken? He sent his son for you. The most beautiful love story of all time. For you. For me. When I still hated him, Jesus died for me. When I was still out selling drugs, Jesus died for me. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? Maybe you've already accepted it. Just like Gomer did originally. She went. She was the bride. And then she ran back into it. I wonder how many of you in here today are just like that. You've been there, you've been set free, and you walked right back into bondage on your own. We do it. It's what we do. But the truth will set you free. When I think about that movie that I showed you in the beginning, classic, Forrest Gump. When you watch that movie and you see where Jenny goes wrong, which is pretty much every step of the way, it is me walking away from God every step of the way and fighting him and kicking and screaming, and I don't know why I do it sometimes. Maybe some of you can relate with me on this. It's so easy to walk away. But God has made it so easy for you to come back home. He's already paid that price. You don't have to stay up on that stage. Jesus has already died for you. His blood was already poured out. He was already beaten and battered and bruised for you. It's already done. Just like an unopened Christmas gift, if it stays there, it's worthless. But I think today it's time for you to either walk back in and accept it for the first time, or to walk back in and make it real this time. Bow your heads with me, would you please? So look, this morning I'm gonna give you guys an opportunity to do something that I think is really important. If you're a Christian and you've already made that decision once, and you've already accepted Christ, and you've already accepted that forgiveness, and you've already been pulled off that stage, and that bondage has already been broken, but maybe you've walked right back into it willingly. Today is the day for you to allow that bondage to be broken again. You don't have to live in that. You don't have to live in that. So nobody's looking around. Everybody's eyes are closed. If that's you, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want it to be with you and for you. As a matter of fact, I want you to take a step out today, and I want you to raise your hand. I'm the only one with my eyes open in the whole room. I want you to just raise your hand if you need to say, God, I've done it, I've accepted it, and I've walked right back into it, and Lord, I'm ready to come back out and be freed from all this bondage. If that's you, just raise your hand with me, would you please? I see them. All around the room, I see it. Absolutely. God, I pray right now, Father, for the Christians in the room, Lord, who have accepted your love, your grace, your forgiveness. Father, but we have walked back in willingly into doubt, into lust, into greed, into whatever it is, Father, that they are being held captive by. Lord, I pray right now you will break those chains. Break those chains, God. If today, maybe today was the first time you've ever heard the gospel. Maybe today is the first time you've ever even thought, oh my goodness, I don't have to be held in bondage. And maybe today is the day you want to accept Christ for the very first time. If that's the case, Pastor Clayton's going to lead you guys in communion in just a minute, and then we're going to have people up at the front by the doors to pray with you. But I'm going to pray now. If this is you, pray in your heart right now and let somebody know. God, thank you, Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you, God, for even when I didn't love you, God, even when I didn't know you, Lord, you loved me and you sent your son to die for me. Father, I accept Jesus as my Savior, and I accept that the price has been paid in full for me. Father, have your will be done in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.